Hi, everyone, and welcome to a really exciting interview episode of Books in the City. Kayla and I got to talk to Aaron and Nat, who are the owners of Book Club Bar in the East Village, which Kayla's definitely mentioned on the podcast. And fun fact, it's like kind of where the idea for this whole podcast was born,
yeah.
Or at least like where we first met to discuss it. So
we like chose the name place. There. We argued about the format. It's yeah. A very important part in our history.
Yes.
They've recently become my go-to bookstore because I do live really close by. And when COVID first hit, I ordered our book club book, I'll Be Gone in the Dark, through them. And it got lost in transit, even though I lived on the block. And Aaron was so sweet. It was like, just come borrow a copy until yours arrives. And then it did when I left the city. And then like 5 months later, I brought it back to them. And it was just like the best customer service. I was like, okay, I love this place. Like, they were so nice of them.
Yeah, they're super wonderful. I mean, we just talked to them for like half an hour, and they're just really wonderful people. And I'm excited for everyone to hear this interview because I feel like it'll make you kind of miss the bookstore browsing beauty of pre-COVID, and I don't know, get you ready to go back to that. And they also just have the cutest story I've ever heard. I love them.
Yeah, so this month is their 1 year anniversary, and that whole year was like during probably the craziest time of all of our lives. So it was really interesting to hear them talk about that. And then even just like owning a bookstore, because I think it's something we all probably think about, but it was cool to hear what it's really like.
Yeah, so thanks for listening. Just also bear in mind, for safety reasons, we're obviously doing all these interviews remote still. There might be some weird Zoom background noise. I know I have a very talkative radiator like 2 feet from me. So sorry for any noise that you might hear throughout this interview.
But enjoy.
Enjoy. Thanks.
This is going to be the best book you ever read. Like, this is your new favorite book.
Off the internet, man. Off the Bookstagram.
I need to go be introverted.
Welcome to Books in the City Pod.
Hey guys, welcome back to Books in the City. I'm Kayla.
I'm Libby.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Nat.
We're so excited to have the owners of one of our favorite New York City bookstores with us today. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And little fun fact, I don't think anyone knows this, when we met up to talk about doing a podcast, we did it at Book Club.
Nice.
So now it's full circle.
Yeah, it has a very special place in our heart. I feel like this was the seeds for the whole idea took place at Book Club, like shortly after it opened, which is special. I don't know.
Great.
I remember like distinctly sitting in those really cozy armchairs, and we were like, oh, like once we make it big, we'll come back here for our first live show. And it seemed like a ridiculous thing to say at the time, but I don't know. Like I feel like it. We
You're
should
like we're big now.
Yeah.
Once we're allowed to do events again, exactly. We would love to do that.
Yes. So can you just tell us a little bit about your store?
Sure. So we are an independent bookstore and bar. We serve coffee, beer, and wine. We're located in the East Village of Manhattan. Nat is my husband. We started this store last November. So probably by the time this airs, it will have just passed our 1 year anniversary.
Congrats.
It's been a crazy first year for us, but we're making it work. Really happy with, kind of being embraced in the community of the East Village so far.
So the concept of your store, I'm like obsessed with it. Like I love that I could just come like grab a glass of wine, read, hang out. Where did you guys come up with that idea?
Yeah, it sort of germinated from both of our loves of bookstores and books. We actually met in a book club.
Oh my God.
So that was, 8 years ago?
Cool.
Yeah, 9 years ago, we met in a book club. And so we'd always shared a love of reading. But our book club is one of those book clubs where you meet and, you spend half the time talking about the book and half the time drinking wine.
So yeah, we're familiar.
That marriage of our interests just sort of grew into an idea for what we wanted to see. And we didn't see anything that was very similar in the East Village. So we just sort of looked around and asked around and, you know, got people's opinions, and there just weren't enough reasons not to do it. It seemed like it was like a great fit for the neighborhood where we already lived and you know, knew the community. And it just sort of went from there.
And I think one of my reasons for really wanting a space like this is the ability to have, you know, a comfortable place to sit, that has good lighting, that has the right music, where, you know, women in particular feel comfortable sitting by themselves at a bar reading a book, I think is really important. And it's hard to find. And that's something that we wanted to create with the space.
So you've mentioned the East Village a few times. How did you settle on that location? Was it kind of just like, you know, an area where you didn't see this kind of thing? Or what does that location mean to the store, I guess?
Well, we both live in the neighborhood. Nat's been in the East Village for, I guess, 11 years, and I've been here for 9. So this neighborhood is very much our home, and we know it very well. And, you know, there are a lot of, it's a great mix of young people, of students, but also, you know, families with young kids as well.
And old lifers who've been here for 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, age-wise very diverse and ethnically very diverse. And we just felt that, you know, while this is our personal home that we know really well, looking around, we just didn't see that it was being serviced by a store of this kind. I mean, we have the Strip, you know, which is, of course, amazing, but it's, you know, it's really on the other corner of the East Village. And it's like such a tourist destination. It's really not a place you go sit down and enjoy a book. It's really a place you stop in and, you know, buy some merch and some books. And on top of that, you know, we just wanted to create the kind of space where you would want to stay, you know? And so the East Village just was a really natural fit.
I agree. I live in the East Village as well, and I am obviously obsessed with it. So what's something that our listeners wouldn't know about running a bookstore?
I think running a bookstore, for, you know, many obvious reasons, is a very romantic idea and romantic occupation. But oh my God, it's a lot of work.
A lot of work. it's not a hobby, you know?
Yeah, it's not a hobby. And we certainly, you know, we get applications all the time like, oh, I love books, I would love to work there. And we're like, okay, well, you have to, you know, you're going to be on your feet for 12 hours. And because we're also have this bar component, you're going to be washing dishes, you're going to be dealing with plumbing issues, like all the sort of logistical operations that you don't really think about, particularly when you're in a building that's 150 years old, like ours is.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of behind the scenes work that goes into it to even just get the books on the shelves.
Yeah. And we're also in a unique position because we have the espresso machine and because we're a bar as well. You're not necessarily just a bookseller. I mean, we call it being a book tender because you have to steam milk and you do have to pour glasses of wine. You do have to bus tables, but also people are going to ask you what you think about the latest, you know, the latest book releases. They're going to ask you about what you think of them all. And, you know, if you like this, would you buy this? You know, like, you still have to do a lot when you work in our space. And that's not to say that that's just because of the bar component. It's just that it's a lot of things all at once.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of other bookstores that have the same concept as us really segregate the roles in the store. And we're not, at least not yet, big enough where that's necessary. Mm-hmm. So yeah, being able to do a little bit of everything is a requirement.
I work in publishing, and I feel that about the not the hobby, you know, the not romantic parts of working with books. Yeah.
Sure.
What are both of your reading tastes?
I think we both skew literary fiction. Mm-hmm.
Most of the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I probably read a little bit more history and nonfiction than you, but for the most part, we really are reading contemporary fiction.
Yeah,
for the most part.
I mean, there's always a book, because our book club still exists, the one that we met in, So there's always at least a book a month that we're reading at the same time, which is kind of nice.
That's cute.
So we have multiple copies of the same book often at the same time.
Or sometimes she'll finish it and then I'll read it.
Yeah. Try to take turns using one copy. Yeah. Doesn't always work.
But yeah, as far as our tastes go, you know, we definitely overlap a lot in our favorites. I mean, she reads more than I do. So, she's often telling me, oh, this is something you have to read. You absolutely have to do this. So we're always sort of trying to guide each other, but yeah.
I tend to read some more mystery thriller type books too. More memoirs, I think, as well. Yep. Yeah. But primarily fiction.
Yeah. And that is the store as well. You know, we do have mostly fiction, modern fiction on our shelves.
So that's what I was just going to ask. Like, how do you guys choose which books to carry? And then does your own taste kind of inform that at all?
Definitely. So we, you know, in our roles as owners of the store, we both do everything basically, but we've split the responsibilities. He manages the bar, so he's the one, you know, ordering coffee and wine and beer and all that stuff. And I do the book buying. So I, you know, when we first started, I had a giant spreadsheet that was about 10,000 titles that were recommended to me by our wholesaler. I went through line by line. I picked everything that I thought that I was interested in that also was, you know, had a diverse representation. And, you know, since then I've certainly begun to work more with sales reps from the publishers directly, but so much of what we stock is informed by our customers and the people in the neighborhood. Like, I'm often being directed toward a book that was not on my radar. Maybe it's, you know, a copy in translation. There are a lot of Australians that come to our store. They've caught onto our coffee, which is great. We can make a good flat white. So, but they've also been asking for, you know, a couple Australian authors that I wasn't familiar with. And I'm like, oh, I guess this is something that I should stock if these are our customers. So I'm still learning. You know, I don't have a background in books, so this is definitely a new experience for me, but you know, it's working so far.
And I would also say that a great resource has been our staff. The people who work for us, you know, we're in our 30s, they're usually in their 20s, and they've informed us about different authors and titles that we wouldn't necessarily know about.
That's cool.
And that's really been helpful.
Yeah. Nice. Our store is about 4,000 titles. It sounds like a lot, but when you see it compared to other bookstores, like, there's so much we don't have space for. And so we do special order books for people a lot. And once I get a special order for a book more than once, that indicates to me it's something we should have on our shelves. So that's always really helpful to inform what physically needs to be in the store at all times.
I do love, like, because you guys aren't the biggest bookstore, but it doesn't feel overwhelming. Like, I feel like I can almost see everything. It's such an enjoyable experience when you're browsing.
Yeah. A lot of stores, which is just different than us, will have a lot of aisles and it can feel very overwhelming to feel like there are just, like, you know, stacks and stacks and stacks of books. And one of the advantages of our layout is that you really can see the entire book selection in your eye when you walk in. You know, it's spread out on both walls, you know, on your left and your right. But at the end of the day, it's just like you can sort of digest that all in one look.
Yeah,
and I like that because we can't stock everything. I think we're stocking, you know, the best of the best of what, you know, from my perspective, and is the best of the best. So for people who aren't as much of an avid reader, it's easier for them to make a decision about what they want to read. If they're only reading 5 books a year, having a curated selection can really guide them toward a book that they might really enjoy easier than a larger store might.
Can you talk a little bit about how much hand selling has played a role in your book selling, and then also kind of how that's adapted during COVID, like when you don't have customers, you know, in the store browsing? How does that change?
we only had about, I guess, 6 weeks or so where we were entirely shut to customers. And during that time, fortunately, we had a web store that was already up and running. So I created, you know, virtual shelves that had a lot of recommendations. That way you know, once we've been open for browsing since like mid July.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Browsing, yeah. Yeah. And it's a big part of what we do every day is, mm-hmm. and the fun part of what we do every day is to talk to people about books, even as if they're checking out, maybe they haven't asked us for a recommendation, but just being able to say, oh, I loved this one. Have you read this? Or this is on my list, but I'm reading something similar. That's, I think, a really important part of what we do every day.
Yeah. And we have, I'm sure you're familiar with the term shelf talkers, but they're those that, you know, for anyone who isn't, they're those labels that you see on bookshelves that basically have a little staff blurb about their favorite book.
Mm-hmm. Just the handwritten little notes. Yeah.
Handwritten note. And so we've got a few of those throughout the store, and we regularly have people pulling a book because that, you know, they read that little description, and that, you know, just that little, you know, contactless interaction, mm-hmm. They see that and they're able to then maybe go, oh, this actually does sound like something I'd be interested in.
That's so cute to hear, because I love those when I go to the bookstore.
Yeah, it definitely works.
It does, yeah.
I need to be better about writing more, but.
So what's your favorite thing about having your own bookstore?
I mean, I think, you know, for both of us, we love working together and we love being our own boss. Mm-hmm. So personally, that's really satisfying, is to have some, you know, this bookstore was just a thing that was in our brains 2 years ago. And now it's like this living, breathing entity that so many people have found a lot of joy from, which is really satisfying. But mm-hmm. I think one of the things that's been the most gratifying for me is really feeling a part of the East Village community in a way that I just never would have before. Like I know hundreds of customers on a first name basis now. I know what they read. I know their coffee orders. I see them every day. Mm-hmm. And it's just a level of interaction that is hard to find in a city like New York. So that's been really a really satisfying experience for us.
Mm-hmm. It's also been rewarding being able to have this be a unique space in the sense that we are serving drinks and coffee too. And it's, you know, for us that has made this, you know, such a different kind of experience. I mean, it's, you know, at times it's taxing because you've got to be like steaming milk and then someone comes in and asks for a book recommendation and then you've got people sitting down at a table. You know, it's like it all happens at once sometimes. But it's also rewarding having, you know, such a diverse work day. You know, you like your things are constantly being thrown at you that like you haven't thought about before. And so you have to really act on your toes. And it's challenging and really fun and engaging.
Do either of you have a favorite part of kind of the New York City literary scene?
I will say one thing that we're missing right now, and one thing that was a big part of the initial plan was author events. Mm-hmm. That was all, you know, because we have beer and wine, that was always a huge part of the plan. Being able to have, you know, not just like a, you know, a book reading in the afternoon, but like we could have book parties, you know, like we could have,
do launch parties.
Yeah. We could do all, you know, all kinds of events that are more geared toward the nighttime. You know, that aren't necessarily just like you know, a standard book reading. I mean, we can do book trivia nights and we can do music nights. Like we can do all kinds of stuff. Even in the couple months before that we were open before the COVID shutdown, we even had like a small play reading, you know, the sky's the limit as far as events. And so, I know we're getting a little off track from your question. That is one of the parts of the literary scene that we've always loved, is going to book events and, you know, going to readings and signings and stuff like that. And being able to, you know, participate in that in our own small way was something we were really looking forward to. And we still are. It's just that it's just on hold indefinitely because of gatherings, which, of course, we, you know, sympathize with. It's just been,
yeah.
That's been one unfortunate thing that we've missed out on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That makes sense.
I was going to say, also, I think living in New York compared to other cities is a unique, we have the unique opportunity that a lot of authors live here as well. Many of them have just popped into our store randomly. Cool. Having an author come in and say, hey, can I sign my book on your shelves? It's really fun, and not every bookstore gets to experience that. Mm-hmm. I know like the second week we were open, Immortelles came in and signed A Gentleman in Moscow and Rules of Civility. And those are two of my favorite books.
Oh my God.
It was also on her birthday.
And it was on my birthday.
Oh, wow. That's fate.
That's happened a few times. Douglas Stewart, who wrote Shuggie Bain, which is now, you know, shortlisted for a Booker this year. He lives in the neighborhood. He happened to walk in on pub day and saw his book out. And he was like, oh my God, this is the first time I've seen it in a bookstore. Like, he was so excited. We were so excited for him. So I think that's a really fun, unique thing that we get to experience as a bookstore in New York City.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so cool. Kind of along those same lines, if you, I guess in a post-pandemic world, who would be like a dream author to host for an event?
Ooh. Yeah, that's a good question. Well, one we've always talked about, and we know that like someday we will do, that he immediately springs to mind, is Jeremiah Moss. He's like, you know, kind of a local legend because he ran this blog for years and years called Vanishing New York, which is now, you know, a best-selling book, and he's come in a number of times.
Yeah.
You know, for us, he's just, you know, a really interesting voice of the city, old and new. And so he's one that we've always sort of had our eyes on for doing some kind of event.
Would love to have Patti Smith.
Yeah. We've talked about.
Oh, yeah. So cool.
Like a dream guest.
Yeah.
Yeah. To have Patti Smith there. There are some like old legendary stories about the Beastie Boys performing in our space. Oh, in the wow. 80s.
Oh.
Yeah, because like nobody, you know, had cameras back then. Phones, there are no photos, and we can't find any official records of it.
Yeah.
But there
this
are
is just anecdotes from old bartenders that now come to our store that bartended at the bar four bars ago or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So they're you know, the Beastie Boys book, you know, we have on our shelves, and so it's always been sort of a dream for us to have one of them come by too.
Oh, that's so cool. So when COVID first hit, you were biking all over New York to deliver books. Can you tell us a bit about what that was like?
Yeah. That was me. I just, you know, Aaron would be in the bar and I would just hop on my bike. We are still offering that. It's a smaller radius now than it was. You know, I'll basically go up to Central Park, you know, down to the Battery, and then everywhere in between, and then just you know, parts of Brooklyn, like Williamsburg and Greenpoint. Basically anywhere I can ride within a half an hour, we'll still do for a nominal fee. But yeah, when we first had the idea, it was when things were really scary. People really weren't leaving their houses, you know, except, you know, for groceries and stuff. And so I would just mask up and, you know, put on gloves and get on my bike. And I was going as far north as...
You're up 109th?
Yeah.
100. Oh, God.
And then, you know, all the way out to Bed-Stuy,
Park Slope.
Yep. I spent a lot of time in Park Slope.
Yeah.
And back then, you know, that we were getting so many orders for it that I would pack up my bag with like 10 or 12 different orders of books and like put them all in, and we would route it out. So that, like, you know, then I would just get on my bike and I'd be riding for, you know, 2.5 to 3 to 4 hours. And, it was a bizarre way to see the city because everything was really shut down at that time. So like, you know, I got featured in the Daily News because I took a picture of myself in Times Square, and there was virtually zero people.
Oh, wow.
At one point I had the Brooklyn Bridge all to myself.
oh my God.
Yeah, it was bizarre. It was like, you know, riding through this, you know, post-apocalyptic New York. But people were so appreciative, and it was mm-hmm. a really nice way to connect with our customers.
Yeah, I think we certainly reached people that we might not have otherwise. Mm-hmm. Because to our knowledge, we were the only bookstore that did this in the city. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason we were able to do it is because we were the owners of the store. It's not like we had to bring in employees like all these other mm-hmm. bookstores. Their employees weren't allowed to be working. But because it was just us and we're married and we live together, like we're already quarantining together. Mm-hmm. So we weren't, you know, exposing any other staff. Yeah. And yeah, people that tried to order books, you know, the postal service at that point was completely overwhelmed. The packages were taking weeks to get two blocks away. Mm-hmm. And we finally were just like, oh, we can do this faster. Like, let's find a way to get books to these people. And everyone was so, so thankful. They thought it was so cool. And just really appreciative.
Yeah.
It's such a cool way to support your local businesses during that like scary time for so many of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when we added, when Aaron thought to add our care package option, you know, so people all over the city, you know, they couldn't necessarily see their friends, even if they're a few blocks away, but they could send them a book and a candle and a bag of coffee. And it was like a really nice way, you know, to just like you said, to support us, a really small new business, and also, you know, be thinking of somebody and like share a cup of coffee over, you know, the course of, you know, the span of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. If you threw a dinner party and could invite three authors dead or alive, who would you invite?
Oh, I know what you're going to say for one of them.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, because I feel like we have to consider how well they get along.
Oh.
It might be interesting if they don't get along, though.
Yeah, that might be. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like, yeah, my initial one to be Donna Tartt and Jonathan Latham. They're going to hate each other. So.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's the lore.
You can get the confirmation, though, at the dinner party.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, Donna Tartt's my, you know, probably my favorite living author.
That would also be a dream event for the store. But
a dream event.
Yeah. When she comes out with a book, right, once every 10 years, yeah, maybe.
We have another one of our hosts is a huge Secret History fan and just talked about it recently and made me really want to read it. So hopefully getting to that one soon.
Yeah. One of our bathrooms, you know, our bathrooms are all, the wallpaper is from actual books, and one of them is.
Oh, cool.
I mean, if it's living or dead, I feel like, you know, my favorite author of all time is probably John Steinbeck.
Yeah.
Not just for, you know, what a classic, amazing, unbelievable, timeless writer he is, but also for his thoughts on the world today. Mm-hmm. Because his understanding and his voice of Americana is so, you know,
perceptive.
Yes, it is perceptive. And I feel like hearing his thoughts on the state of the Union would be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if we were going to have a boozy dinner party, we might invite, you know, Hemingway or Bukowski, or something like that. Depends on the type of party.
True. Yeah. If you want us to stay, you know, end by 11 or something, you might adjust. So besides your own, of course, do you have a favorite bookstore in New York or a favorite, you know, prior to last November?
Yeah.
Well, we both really love Books Are Magic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That is a truly magical store.
Yeah, it's a beautiful store. We've gotten to know the owners a little bit. They've been super generous with, you know, advice for us when we've talked to them, and we kind of, you know, we look to them as kind of a model for things that we might be able to do with our store. So they're a great store.
Yeah.
We also love Rough Draft, which is another store bar in Kingston, New York.
Oh, I just went there.
Yeah.
It's a really cool space.
It's beautiful. Yeah, and what another inspiration, a bookstore that I absolutely adore is Book Bar in Denver. Mm. That's also just like a lovely bookstore that also has a great bar and really nice staff and a really great vibe. And similar to the East Village, that, you know, that area of Denver is really lovely. And yeah, I think Book Bar would have to be up there. And if we're talking about, you know, bookstores that have helped us, you know, ditto for Greenlight and Three mm-hmm. Lives, both of whom are, you know, such, you know, wonderful spaces, and both the owners have been incredibly generous with us, you know, have like held our hands through like early days when we were figuring out if this was even possible.
Yeah. Like, how do we do this
yeah.
and this?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so sweet. Learned about the book industry and the bookstore industry in particular is how these are, you know, it's full of people who love books, genuinely want bookstores to succeed. And people have been so generous with their time and their wisdom. They're just so happy that there's going to be another bookstore, that they wanted to help us in any way that they could. So that's been a wonderful surprise for us as newcomers to the book industry, to discover that it's a community made up of people like that. It's been really great.
Beautiful.
On that note, do you guys have any advice for anyone who would one day like to open their own bookstore?
If you can avoid a global pandemic.
Perfect.
Advice. What do you think?
It's not something to be undertaken lightly.
Kind of like you said earlier.
Yeah, especially in New York City, but in most places, it's a big financial investment. It's a big personal investment of time and energy. And, you know, we both have sacrificed most of our free time. We love to travel. We've sacrificed like all travel plans. I mean, fortunately, there's a pandemic this year. We wouldn't have been traveling anyways. There's a lot of personal sacrifice that goes into starting a business. So that's something that anyone that wants to open a store has to be prepared to do. Mm-hmm. And I would say doing as much research as possible, talk to other bookstore owners, talk to consultants, you know, make financial modeling for every scenario. You need to plan out what every month of the year is going to look like and what your costs are and what your expenses are. Mm-hmm. That's something that you need to know well ahead of just, you know, signing a lease and then figuring it out.
Mm-hmm. I would also say talk to us.
We're still
so fresh in our minds. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd be happy to talk to anyone who's interested in this, because, you know, it's not like we started this, you know, 10 years ago. This is all still happening. Mm-hmm. Our survival is anything but assured, but at least we've made it this far. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've, you know, rolled with the punches on some of this stuff. And so we'd be happy to guide anybody any way we can, because the people, you know, people in this, just like we just said, in this city really helped us out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we would be, you know, thrilled to pay it forward with anybody else who wanted to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love thinking of just like all of the indies, you know, coming together to support all the other indies. It's really, I don't know, that makes me feel warm inside. That's beautiful.
It has been beautiful. I mean, you know, so much of the business world is such a cynical place, and in a lot of ways, these people who some might view as our competitors really have not behaved that way. They've behaved like, you know, people with open arms who've, you know, really guided us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, that's so nice.
So what are you both reading right now?
I just finished Memorial by Brian Washington. Mm. I had not read Lot, which is his previous collection of short stories. So this is my first time reading this author. It was great. I really enjoyed it. And I'm now reading The Talented Mr. Ripley by Patricia Highsmith.
Oh, nice. So,
an old classic. She's an author that I've never read. That was just kind of a blind spot for me. So it's been a fun read so far.
Nice.
I'm reading Dreyer's English right now. If you're not familiar, it's a modern take on a reference book for grammar and punctuation, and, you know, just basically the craft of writing itself. It's really witty and funny, and it reads itself. It's such a pleasure.
Nice. So where can our listeners find you guys on the internet?
We are bookclubbar.com, and all of our socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, we're at bookclubbar.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for joining. I can't wait for our listeners to hear this interview. I feel like it was just so sweet. You guys are so cute.
I think it'll also, make everyone really miss, I don't know, just like browsing the bookstore. Something to look forward to, I guess.
Yeah.
Thank you both.
Yeah, thank you. Come back anytime. Looking forward to seeing you again.